going to be part four. And there may be a part five because I'm a little bit limited. We're having communion today, so I'm a little bit limited on my preaching time. So there may be part five to this, but at least part that may have to wait till after Pastor Dennis is here. But part four on this series, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those words are taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of power, spirit of love. And he gives us a sound mind. And that Holy Spirit dwells within us. And if you haven't been with us, I believe all the first three parts are recorded and available on the website. We've gone into several subjects related to the Holy Spirit. The God that lives within us, the third person of the Trinity. So it makes it very personal. And if you feel distant and estranged from your Heavenly Father, well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you want to get sensitive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit because he is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our heart in Romans chapter 5 and brings us to the place where we cry, Abba, Father. And God is very personal through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So to be sensitive to the Spirit, to not quench the Spirit, not grieve the Spirit, but instead be controlled by the Spirit. This really is it's our duty. It's our responsibility. Those are heavy words. But really, it's our privilege. It's our privilege to be aware of our connection, our place in the family of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, which is the seal of our redemption. That's how we know we're going to heaven. We don't know we're going to heaven because we're good people. There are going to be a lot of good people in hell, unfortunately. And that's where our ministry of evangelism and outreach comes in. And there's going to be a lot of people that would be considered bad people in heaven because they're forgiven by God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're not bad in heaven. They were bad on earth. And to some degree, all of us, by divine parameters, we're all sinners, first of all. So we're all, if you want to say bad, but we're all sinners in need of a Savior. There's no one that's not a sinner. Varying degrees of sin, varying degrees of suffering that come because of it. But the Holy Spirit leads us into freedom, freedom from sin, freedom to obey. Now, if we're not going to be sinning, which we're not here for that, then what are we going to be doing? If we're not being obedient to the Holy Spirit and doing the work of God, then we're just wasting time. And unfortunately, a lot of God's children are just wasting their time, unfortunately. And while they're on their way to heaven, they're not really actively partaking of the work of God, which is building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church upon the rock of the testimony that he is the Christ. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Larry brought out in his devotional the warfare part of the stronghold. If you're not aware of warfare, that's a problem. We've been teaching a lot on warfare over the past few years. Warfare is real. It's happening all the time. The devil never sleeps. And it's our privilege and responsibility to keep him on the run. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, the scriptures tell us. So we want to be aware of the warfare. We want to be victorious in the warfare. And all of that, a part of it is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He leads us into freedom. Freedom to obey, freedom to take up that challenge to be strong by the grace of God and courageous by the Spirit of God to do the work of God, to do the will of God. And today we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week we were in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the ninefold fruit, and here we're going to look at gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least today, if not going forward. Before I start, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's been a number of years, I think, since I've taught specifically on the gifts of the Spirit. And today we don't have the time to be comprehensive, but we'll at least touch on the lists here. But before we actually start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, I want to ask a couple questions. How many of us have either been a part of or at least visited and have some experience in a Pentecostal or a charismatic church? Would you raise your hand? I'd say almost half of us. How many of you, it scared you to pieces? You can be honest. It didn't scare. I'm going to give you a little history of this local church and also some history on what was Bible Speaks is now Greater Grace and where what our connections are there. So I think there were probably more people than actually raised their hands that were scared stiff. In that realm, in that range of Pentecostal and charismatic churches, there's everything from how many have experienced what's been called charismania, like craziness. How many I've experienced? Anybody been in a church where it was crazy? Yeah. And so that can scare just about anybody. It didn't scare me because I'm not easy to scare. And I was like amused. Just to be like, woo, what is that? And is that God? That's weird. If that's God, it's weird. Anyways, and I've never witnessed anybody actually witnessed swinging from the chandeliers in church. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. Anybody here? How about snake handlers? You ever been in a snake handler church? Where they pass out the poisonous snakes? I haven't been in those either. You got to go down south, I think, to find those. But I I'm not encouraging anyone to do it, by the way. But I just want to know what kind of... Now, some of you are saying, why are you even talking about this, Pastor? Well, the reason for that is because some of the things we're going to touch on today are practiced in the charismatic church, some to the point of charismania, others in a much more reserved and respectful way. But because in charismatic and Pentecostal churches, they really focus on the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes too much, sometimes to the point where they're really out of whack and out of balance and tend into charismania. Just so you know, our local church actually started in the charismatic movement. Our days go back to the days of the Jesus people of the 70s, and Pastor Handel and myself, which are the co-founders of this local assembly, came to Christ under the guidance of we haven't had him here for many years. His name is Alex Smith. We called him Sandy. But he came to Christ in the charismatic movement. We came to Christ and were taught by him. He was our first mentor. We didn't call him pastor, but he was the biggest influence in our lives for the first 2 years. And he taught us about soul winning. He taught us about how important the Word of God is. And that's what set him apart from the rest of charismania, is that he really focused on the Word of God. And he was aware that there was abuses of the gifts of the Spirit that were rampant, especially at that time, and probably still are in certain places. And he wanted to guard us against that. He didn't want to duplicate that. And so we're very thankful for that. But our doctrine has changed, I would say, significantly, because at that time we actually believed, the first couple of years of our ministry, the formation as the Bible study that was in Burnt Hills grew into a church, we believed and taught that you could have salvation and lose it. We weren't sure how many times you could have it and lose it, but that we've transitioned. When we came into fellowship in what was Bible Speaks and now is Greater Grace, our theology got significantly improved, and we came into a systematic theology that we've held and still hold and hold dear. And thank God for bringing us. We prayed, Pastor Handel and I prayed for 2 years, where to be joined to the body of Christ. The denomination that we felt closest to was the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal denomination. We had an affinity there. We had some relationship with the Assemblies of God churches. But God led us to right where he wanted us to be in the body of Christ, under the ministry of Pastor Carl Stevens. Now, his history and where the two meet is he started off as a Bible Baptist, a fundamental Bible Baptist, and he was renowned in Maine for having the largest Sunday school in the state. But when he began to rub shoulders with the charismatics and count them as valuable in the body of Christ, that kind of got him in disfavor with the rest of the fundies, as they were called, the Bible Baptist fundamentalists. And then when he dared to actually bring a guitar into church and not denounce Billy Graham, which they all denounced at the time. Maybe they still do. He had crossed the line and they blacklisted him. They disfellowshipped him, but he was being used of God and he appreciated the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so continued on in his ministry and did actually minister in several of the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to look at today. And while he had already intact a systematic theology that we hold to, which is typically Southern Baptist or Christian Missionary Alliance are the two denominations that share that systematic theology, that if you have salvation, that it's forever, it's eternal life, and you won't lose it. You may be chastised by your Heavenly Father if you disobey. We all receive some level of chastisement in our lives as the children of God, and that's only proof that we are children of God. That's another subject. But I'm going to dive in, read a few verses, make a few comments, and at least get introduced to these gifts of the Spirit. They're not something for us to be afraid of. We are instructed to actually desire the spiritual gifts, and there's a purpose. Maybe I better state that first. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, and first of all, it's the will of God. If we have the Holy Spirit, and I trust we do, and if not yet, we're going to have an invitation for salvation at the end of the service. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us wants to, he desires to give us specific gifts to bless the body of Christ. They're not just to bless us. Now, the fruit of the Spirit blesses us and others in the overflow because it manifests, the fruit of the Spirit manifests the nature and the character of God. But the gifts of the Spirit specifically minister to needs in the body of Christ, of which there are many. And some gifts of the Spirit we're familiar with, and we'll see that as we move on. Others, maybe we have no experience with and seem to be rare in the body of Christ. And that may be because people are ignorant. But the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are to bless the entire body of Christ, to bless the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Now, there's a Greek word here in verse 4, 5, and 6. It's the same Greek word, although it's translated in the New King James with diversities, and then in verse 5 as differences. But the Greek word is diaresis. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. Races, actually. It's a long E. And it's spelled like this for the transliteration. It's D-I-A-I-R, long E with the accent, S, long E-I-S. And it's translated as varieties, maybe in your translation. It says different varieties. The emphasis here in all three of these verses that there are varieties. The Holy Spirit is working in various ways in these three categories: gifts, ministries or services, and activities or operations. So in all three of these categories, there's a diversity. And what we find here is that you can't put God in a box. That God is working in ways that are often mysterious to us until we become acclimated, until we've seen it, until we've received the benefit of it, until we realize, yes, that is God. God did that. God provided that. That's a blessing. When we first see it, we're thinking, what is that? It's like when you see something from afar off and you don't quite know what it is. You're wondering, what is that? And as it gets closer and closer, then you recognize what it is. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the work of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 3, we hear the sound of it. We see the effects of it, but we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. We don't know all of the details, but there are certain telltale signs that let us know It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And now people often, you know, human nature just wants to categorize things and put God in a box. And many people do it, try, only to find out that God doesn't fit in their box, and that kind of freaks them out. But he doesn't. These are varieties of gifts, of ministries or services. And that's when the gift is resident and somebody's actually occupied in for a long period of time or called of God. And we'll look at certain gifts have that characteristic. Gifts of preaching, teaching. The gift of a pastor, teacher, a church planter. These are gifts that end up in ministries or areas of service in the body of Christ. And then there's also diversity of operations or activities, which denote perhaps a season where somebody may be occupied, the Holy Spirit may be giving them gifts for a certain purpose, for a certain length of time, purpose, you know, for a season. And with all of these varieties. And then his point is, with all of this variety, in verse 6, it says that it is the same God who works all in all. God working in all these various ways for various purposes, all for the establishment of the body of Christ, to build up and bless the body of Christ. Verse 7 capsulizes this thought. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Manifestation there means the open showing, the unveiling, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes himself visible, not in a form, not like the form of a dove necessarily or the flames of fire, but as he gives the gift to you, to me, to anyone in the body of Christ, and then that gift is used in some form, some way, we realize that's the Holy Spirit. It's not just that person. Now, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking it's the person. No, it's not the person. The person is a sinner saved by grace, hopefully a disciple, not always. But that's a person. But the Holy Spirit is doing something. The Holy Spirit is giving a gift for a purpose. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's somebody I know. Maybe it's the whole body, depending on the gift and how it's used, when it's used. But we can realize, we see, if you will, yeah, God is there. God is doing something there. And it can be the strangest way. I mean, the Holy Spirit enabled a donkey to speak to the wayward prophet Balaam, and donkeys usually don't speak. Balaam realized there's something supernatural going on here. There's my donkey's talking to me. Usually it's not that strange, but it can be. And it's not that the donkey's in heaven either. And it's not that the donkey was saved or sanctified or anything else. He was just used of God to communicate a message. But there is a mystery here. But in verse 7, we find that the Holy Spirit wants to give us gifts, and he wants to use us in the body of Christ, so we bring a portion. Perhaps you've seen on nationwide TV, whether it's a football game or recently the jockey that won, once he won some very significant races and he gave his testimony and he glorified God, and sometimes it's pro sports. They do their thing and maybe they have a natural gift, but when they win the championship and the microphone is in their face and the camera's on them, they give glory to God. And they acknowledge that God gave them even maybe the natural gift, but maybe even beyond that, maybe God answering their prayers helped them to excel at the right time to win the championship. And so they give glory to God. Now, while the whole world is applauding that person, believers know, oh, they're giving glory to God. There's something bigger going on. Not just they're great at this sport. No, they're giving glory to God. They're using their opportunity to say, God gave me the gift. God gets the glory. Now, I don't know if any of us will ever be, you know, nationwide famous. You never know. Could happen. But all of us can have that moment. Now, the whole world may not be watching, But what's going on in that moment when that person has triumphed and they know it's through the gift of God and they're giving glory to God, they have that the thrill of knowing God has used them, God has blessed them, and that's probably greater thrill than having the whole world applaud. Because the world is fickle. The world will be applauding somebody else next week, and that'll be gone. Their moment of glory in the world is very fleeting, but they have the opportunity of knowing that God used them and blessed them. And we can all have that sense. And I believe it's the will of God for every single one of his children to know, I've been obedient. By the grace of God and by the faith that God has given me, I have obeyed him, I have honored him, and the body is, someone's blessed. And sometimes they'll say, I know God is in this. Maybe you've been witnessing to somebody and they've said, God sent you. And they had that definite sense. And they may not even be saved, but somehow they know God sent you. Or if they are believers, they know. And there's a satisfaction that comes with knowing God actually used me, little old me, with all my weakness, with all my frailties, God has used me. And God wants us all to have that satisfaction of knowing that he's given us a gift. He's given us his spirit, first of all. Then he's given us his gift, and we've used it accordingly to bless the body of Christ. And someone is blessed, or maybe everyone is blessed. And whether it's some of you gals that make a meal for someone that's in need, they're going through a difficult time, and you know, you spent your time in the kitchen making that meal and maybe taking it over to them, and they're thankful. They're thankful that you took the time to do that. And you knew it was the Holy Spirit that put it on your heart to bless them. And, you know, maybe hopefully you're already a good cook and it wasn't a miracle that it came out right, but if you don't know how to cook, maybe you should find another ministry until you learn how to cook. But still, the Holy Spirit gave you that gift. In that case, it was a gift of mercy and a gift of helps that was being displayed. And hopefully not just your gift of cooking. Well, the gift of cooking is still a natural gift. Thank God for that. Reading on at verse 8. Oh. All right, I thought I'd get further, but I guess it will be part 5. For he goes through a list of 9 gifts here, and it's not a complete list. There are several other gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we find the gifts of teaching, leading, mercy, administration, ministry or serving, and exhortation. They're not found here in this list in 1 Corinthians. But he says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit has a will, which is in unison with the Father and the Son. He's willing to give gifts, not just these 9, but others besides this that we've mentioned in other places. He wants to give us gifts. Then he wants to use those gifts to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit's leading us and guiding us, and he's giving us a special anointing to use those gifts, whatever they are, to be a blessing in the body of Christ, to serve the body of Christ. So we all know that we have our place. We belong. Now, we belong before we ever receive the gift or use the gift, but the gift is just our contribution, what we can do to enhance, to increase, to encourage the saints in the body of Christ. These gifts, they are given by the Holy Spirit as he chooses. We can ask. It's up to him as to whether he gives. I would love for somebody to have the gift of healing. And we'll have to get into that next time, because we've had gifts of healings from time to time. But as far as to someone to have that gift resident in them, that would be kind of nice. Save us some trips to the doctors, I think. But these gifts, and some of them are in operation on a regular basis. Maybe there's some others that if we desire the God to give us these gifts and are willing and ready and obedient, the Holy Spirit will give us gifts. And if you've never experienced this, some gift, whatever it may be, the gift of mercy is so needed, and especially in certain ministries, the gift of mercy, because there are people that are hurting, and they need someone that has a special gift of mercy to come alongside and help them through the difficult times, the gift of mercy. Next time, we'll get into more about these gifts and how they're used and where they're used. But then I'll close with this. At the end of the chapter, which we didn't get to in verse 31, he says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." And the more excellent way is the way of love. And I want to say I'm thankful that the love of God has been resident here in our local assembly for decades. And, you know, we can still grow in our capacity to love, but that the more excellent way, we're by the grace of God, we've been faithful to receive the love of God and share it with one another. But in addition to that, and we want to continue to excel in that more than anything, but in addition to that, to be sensitive, to not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts, but sensitive to be led by the Holy Spirit and be used by the Holy Spirit for various, in a variety of ways, to minister the whole counsel of God, the Word of God, and all the working of God that we find in the Word. I'm going to put a line in this and come back to part 5 next time. Those that are going to serve communion, you can go and get that ready for us, and we'll have a prayer. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now in a very simple prayer of faith. In your own heart and in your own mind, please pray with me. Pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. And I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me that gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God." And if you are praying that for the very first time while others are praying with their eyes closed, with their heads bowed, would you put your hand up quietly but quickly? I'd like to pray for you. Is there one? Thank you, Father, for every precious soul that's here. Father, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, help us to draw near and reflect on what a great price you have paid to obtain us as your children, to buy us out of the slave market of sin, out of the darkness, and make us your own by the blood of your Son. Help us, Lord, to appreciate that. Father, if there's any stronghold that's there in our soul, help us to surrender that to you. Any unforgiveness towards anyone, especially. Wounds, Father, that may have scabbed over, but they haven't healed. Father, that we would surrender them to you. And Lord, if there's any amends that need to be made, any repentance that needs to be declared, help us to see to that quickly, maybe even before. Father, if there's any that you want to do that business before they take communion, make that very plain. And Father, but with all of us, to have no strongholds in our soul, but just surrender to you the freedom that your Spirit brings, that the blood of Christ has bought for us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.